Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy, Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart, she's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the program that talks politics better than any other. Yes, that's right. I am your humble host, Jason Easley. And tonight, we have a really special program for you. I was going to say a special episode, but every time I think special episodes, I think of Arnold Drummond meeting up with a child molester on Different Strokes. So we're going to say we have a special program for you tonight concerning media bias. And, of course, this topic was suggested by our good friend Ryan Latimer. So let's bring Ryan in right now. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
What was that comment you made before about people, if you think it's special episode, it's what?
Special episode, yes. I refrain from the term special episode because it always flashes me back to Arnold, the bike shop, and the child molester on Different Strokes.
I always think of on a very special blossom next week, you know.
How about on a very special Facts of Life?
There you go.
Let's bring in George. Hello, George.
Hello, gentlemen. Since you were mentioning a very special Facts of Life, that means I get flashbacks to Natalie limping home after she got mugged because she was almost home from her costume party.
Dude, you started, Jason.
Face it, George. You had the hots for Natalie, didn't you?
Of course.
As a young man growing up,
well, everybody else had the hots for Blair or Joe, so you know, like,
oh, it was Tootie, man. Tootie was where it was at. She was the real wild chick.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, let's talk about media bias. We could do 30 minutes on the Facts of Life, but that would get us neither here nor there. Ryan, you suggested this topic.
Yeah, I did.
What bothers you so much?
What's the problem, Ryan? Yeah, well, if you're referring to a recent event as opposed to just in general, that would take far too long, I think. But honestly, you know, I'm a journalist major. I'm into education now, but I have a journalism degree about 3 years ago. What disturbs me is, now, by all means, I'm not an arrogant person. I'm a smart aleck, but I'm not arrogant. All right, and I dare say that what's going on right now, at least half of the people on TV that, you know, do personality, radio, whatever you want to call it, I know more about journalism than more than half these people. I swear. But based on what I know now, and I have 3 years' experience. And I'm not even in the
That's not being arrogant. That's just saying these people are untrained.
Or something. I don't know. But, you know, I think what irked me lately is, I'm not sure if you guys read Rolling Stone, but
I gave up a long time ago.
On occasion.
Yeah, about a couple months ago, they had an article about Keith Olbermann, and it was entitled "The Most Honest Man in News."
Oh Jesus!
And I about threw up. I can't believe that this guy is, because you know people aren't supposed to be listening to Bill O'Reilly now. It's supposed to be Keith Olbermann. He's the guy you're supposed to listen to. He's the guy that is honest and fair and everything like that. I about laughed out of my chair.
Well, the difference here is Olbermann's actually a trained journalist.
Well, no, he's a sports guy, but that's fine.
He has a journalism degree compared to, let's say, O'Reilly.
Well, no, I'm not defending O'Reilly, because I used to be a fan.
Yeah, but there's a distinction there. Like, if Olbermann had to report, he could.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know, O'Reilly's the talking head type.
Yeah, but no, O'Reilly, O'Reilly's got quite a few degrees in, like, public broadcasting and everything like that, but I'm not defending. I used to be a fan of his years ago, but I'm not anymore because, obviously, it's, you know, an idiot with a monkey with a pencil in his ear could figure out that this guy's not the person he says he is, and I know that. But now all of a sudden it's supposed to be Olbermann, and he's just the same. He's maybe a few differences here and there, but this, you know, I've tried watching his program and I get a headache. You know what I mean? He's the exact opposite. I mean, as far as a political stance go, you know what I mean? To answer your question on what really irked me lately, it was that, and I go, this is absolutely atrocious. So I'm wondering myself, and maybe you guys can help me out here, is there anyone out there, hard news, opinion, whatever, that really knows what the heck they're doing and isn't the biased person that they
under the age of 70?
I don't know.
And I'm not kidding you. Under the age of 70. I mean, if you're talking about all the best journalists out there on television right now, mm-hmm. are probably 60 to 70 years old.
Yeah,
and they're all on Sunday.
I mean, there's George. You've been relatively quiet for one of these programs.
Oh yes,
jump in there.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely have my issues with both sides of the the bias that there is. And really, the way that you described Keith Olbermann, Ryan, was dead on, because he was, he comes off to me like he was created to be a yin to O'Reilly's yang.
Uh-huh.
And it's like that, we need somebody who can basically just kind of like get down in the mud and everything. Basically, like, it was, it was kind of like the creation of Serpentor, just like somebody to, lead. To lead this, this side, against that particular enemy. It's just like, it feels like you said, Jason, if Olbermann wanted to report the news, then he could. But at the same time, it's just like he chooses to just kind of like get down in the mud and fight O'Reilly on his own turf, and that really accomplishes nothing.
But instead of news now, we're selling personalities.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that's what it is. We're selling now. And that's where, if you want to talk about the bias and the change in the news business, it all came whenever corporate ownership jumped into public affairs,
mm-hmm.
and they bought the channels, they bought everything. You talk about radio, TV. But corporate ownership came in, and they found out news can be very profitable.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes all the way back to the film network, one of my all-time favorite films.
Yeah, there you go.
And that was, that was looked at as a satire back then. And now it's more true to life than anything else that's out there right now.
But really covering news, really, really getting out there and objectively covering the news is expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not cheap to cover the news.
It's like
CNN has become. Look at what CNN used to be, an absolute dream as far as organizationally what you would want a news division to have. I mean, you had offices and branches and reporters all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But that's expensive. And then costs came in when Time Warner came in and bought it. They slowly but surely started taking CNN's presence out of various places around the world, to the point where now CNN, Fox, and MSNBC all basically rely on external feeds for a lot of their coverage.
Yeah.
For their video. There's no more reporting on the ground. It's just not there.
It's kind of like when
you have maybe an expert in the studio and an anchor talking to you.
Right. People are finding news. People are finding news right now instead of getting it.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's where the bias kicks in, because if you no longer need reporters on location to be your eyes and ears and beam it to the world what's going on, then there's a filter in the process. And that filter becomes an opinionated person in the studio.
Yeah.
And you know what? Even if it's all corporate, you know what? That's actually a small thing. Honestly, I think the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems, is a million of them, but there's so many people, personality-wise, hard news, and all over the food chain, is they just cannot put aside how they feel and do their job.
Well, see, somewhere along the way, that became acceptable. Remember, if you look back at the golden era of anchors or the reporters, their personal feelings never entered into what they were reporting.
Mm-hmm. Now, unless it's
somewhere along the way, it became acceptable to personalize your reporting.
Yeah, but even I don't have a problem with the news analysis shows like O'Reilly or Keith Olbermann. Not, and I'm going to talk about them in person. I don't have a problem with opinion and analysis. But even the only thing that they push away is the fact that they're given their opinions. That's fine, but they, what they choose to cover, how they choose to cover it, that's just pretty crap. That's what I have a problem with. So not just the fact that it's corporate, it's just the people themselves and all of the food chain bosses, all the way down to news people.
Yeah.
They can't.
But it's all money in the end. It's all profit margin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when there's profit margin to be made, there's a great deal of profit in Paris Hilton coverage.
Mm-hmm.
What we're seeing right now is something very dangerous. We're seeing the line being blurred so much between news and opinion.
Yeah.
It's like you have shows like, Keith Olbermann, like Bill, like Bill O'Reilly and everything like that. You know, those are straight opinion. Those should be straight opinion.
Yeah.
And then, but you have too many people out there that are depending on those kinds of shows to get their news report, their news coverage.
Yeah, when people start getting their news, and I love The Daily Show, but when people start getting their news from The Daily Show,
that's
even Jon Stewart says that's a real problem.
Yeah. And they even told
you shouldn't get your news from us.
Jon Stewart even came out and said during a promo, like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one of the most fascinating things, if you guys haven't seen it, Bill Moyers' Journal, the program they brought back on PBS not long ago,
uh-huh.
His first or second program was an interview with Jon Stewart. And that was really, really something else, because he's been a fine critic of the media itself. I mean, from his satire perch, he can do it on the air, but also off the air in serious interviews, he talks about the shortcomings of his media. I mean, whenever everybody got played before the Iraq War, that wasn't just the Bush administration did what every administration wants to do. They wanted to control the media, except this media was so willing to go along with it. They threw away all the questions they should have been asking.
Yep. Wasn't there a documentary on
that?
It was scary. You know, like, it was scary the way that they just basically just kind of rolled over like that. Especially once we all found out just how much we had all been duped.
A lot of this
negative Bush coverage, like around 04, 05, pre-Katrina, I think what a lot of it was personal spite. The media got duped before the war. They found out afterwards they got duped. The public was mad at the media, so the media decided, you know, we're going to show we can still stand on our own. Now, granted, that coverage, about 75% of that coverage to Bush at that point was justified. But there was still a shift in tone that was palpable.
You could
just see. You know, when flag waving wasn't popular anymore, away went the flags.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, and that's what I think the right-wing conspiracy liberal media people don't quite understand. The bias isn't necessarily driven by an ideology or agenda. It's driven by public opinion polls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's driven by popularity.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, there's not much popularity going on in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why the Bush coverage has just turned vile. It's turned spiteful and hateful.
At this point, it has to.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, yeah, Bush isn't helping himself out.
Yeah.
He stopped helping himself out right after Katrina.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was basically I've already gotten reelected, so.
Katrina put the nail in his coffin.
Yeah.
Because here's Bush going, we did everything we could, and then all of the world is seeing live pictures of what's going on in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And you could just hear collectively hear a thought from the country going, hey, wait a minute.
And that's
exactly what happened. But he said, and then they look at their TV, and that looks very different from what the White House is saying. And that's right. If you want to pinpoint one moment where credibility just sunk, it was right there.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the difference between journalism and opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And when do you think it became blurred? George,
I think it started to become blurred. I think
when did you notice it?
I personally noticed it, during the whole during the rise of Fox News, something that I know that they're a personal favorite punching bag for all liberals everywhere. And I hate them just as much as the next guy, but at the same time, it's just like they really, you really just kind of have to realize that, they were, one of the initiators of this trend. And because of that, by saying over and over again how they're number one and everything, and they're doing it this way, then all of a sudden you have CNN and MSNBC just kind of thinking to themselves, well, the only way we can say that we're number one is if we, fight it out with them. And it becomes a war between CNN and MSNBC and Fox News. And it's just like, whatever happened to just reporting the freaking news and keeping us informed? Aren't we the people that you should be catering to, not your not your your fellow news studios?
Okay, Ryan, when did you notice things changing?
Definitely during the rise of Fox News. They changed. I don't know if it could be contributed all to them. I don't mean to be one of those, so to speak, but it definitely, they changed the scope of modern journalism. I mean, and the impact's undeniable. They are number one. You want to know why they're number one? Because they are so great at presentation. I still watch that program. Maybe it's out of habit, or on that channel, maybe it's out of habit. You know, I grew up in a Republican household, so it was always on. But I still watch it. It's great presentation. But I know. But obviously, I'm much more well informed. I'm older now, and I can spot the phony when I see it, whether it be the news story or the person. So that's why I'm kind of safe and I can watch it. But that's why, because it's all it's infotainment, entertainment, whatever you want to call it. But that's definitely.
I think what Fox News did was, they showed you can cater to a partisan audience, and it can be very, very profitable.
Mm-hmm. And it is.
Yeah.
And that's what, because let's face it, I mean, their viewership's down 30% right now because they tied themselves to the conservative movement in the country. And when the conservative movement falls, they're going to tumble. But they made so much money in that post 9/11 period before the Iraq War turned that they can afford a downturn. It's almost like the wrestling business.
Mm-hmm.
Where the wrestling business can do so well when it breaks through to the mainstream attention level that it can weather 5, 6, 7 down years till the next upturn.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, like that incredibly unfunny half hour news hour does not help them.
Oh,
at
that's
all.
Awful. I've tried
that's
watching.
Still on.
Oh man, it's still on. They actually advertised commercials for it on Yes during my Yankee games. It was like, what the hell are you people doing?
Yeah, it's like 1982.
As if you are punished enough as it is, George.
Excuse me. Don't make me throw that 9-game winning streak in your face.
Yeah, well, winning streak. Wait till they play the Red Sox again.
Children.
Okay, now, where can people go to find some good objective reporting?
I would love for you two to tell me, because that's one of the reasons why I suggested this, because I really want to know. I'm lost. I have no one to look up to.
C-SPAN.
I suggest essentially turning off the cable, turning off all three cable networks.
Okay.
Just turn them off. They're not going to inform you much in any way.
Yeah.
If you're interested in domestic coverage, PBS is one of the few sources left to go. And I mean, some of their programs have their little slants, but PBS has an overall schedule. Does a really good job at balancing out.
Hey, Bill O'Reilly says PBS is bad, though.
That should just tell you why you should be watching it. That's exactly why you should be watching it. I mean, you got programs like Frontline. I mean, you have your Bill Moyers program, but then you also have the McLaughlin Group. I mean, it's just, and depending on where you're at, what your local PBS affiliate does, some affiliates actually block left, right,
mm-hmm.
when they do their public affairs programming. Or they just block public affairs straight because there are a few programs that play down the middle. PBS in this country, PBS is about the only place to go. I mean, otherwise, you got to go to the internet. You got to go online. You got to find the news yourselves. But then you have to worry or wonder about the self filtration and editorial process in newspapers. The same thing is there, just the bias is mispronounced.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in this country, it's really tough to find somewhere to go on network television that's going to give you a straight-up square deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the cable networks won't, because it's not in their best interest.
Well, it seems like the main thing that they realize is that there are a lot of people out there that are really, not interested in keeping up with the news. They would much rather have their opinions formed for them.
Yeah.
Fair and balanced, to quote Fox News. Honest to God, objective, fair, and balanced doesn't make money.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Phil Spector trial makes money. Paris Hilton makes money. Mm-hmm. Coverage of individual presidential candidates, like right now, 55% of all cable network coverage of presidential candidates has gone to either Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama.
Yeah. Same old.
I mean, it's all the news business in this country now is built around star power and storylines.
Yeah,
it's not built around actual. Here's what's going on in Africa, or here's what's going on, because they know people don't care. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people that shut themselves up, And they have tunnel vision. If it's not directly in front of them or affecting their lives, they tune it out. You know,
I'm surprised that Clinton and Obama don't have entrance themes anymore. Not yet.
Like pyrotechnics when they enter a room.
Yep.
Okay, so is journalism dead on radio and TV? Has talk radio killed journalism, Ryan?
Honestly, talk radio, I don't think it really happened. Talk radio and journalism, yeah, the line's getting blurred as far as mentalities go and the way it is. But to answer your question just directly, if it's dead, if it's not dead yet, it's, you know, maybe 4 or 5 feet under. It's getting there. I don't know if I can go all the way and say it's dead, but honestly, answer the second part of that question, talk radio, I really has nothing to do with it. Talk radio is in journalism, and it doesn't have to be. It never said it was. Rush Limbaugh is not
a lot of people substitute actual following of the news for talk radio.
Yeah, if you're getting your news from either Air America or Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity, you know, it's fine to listen to, especially for chuckles, but you don't get your news from it, you know what I mean? But no, I don't equate that with journalism at all, and they're not journalists, and that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the thing. If you want to have a firm, concrete line where the talk show hosts of the world do their thing,
mm-hmm.
And the journalists do their thing, that's great. But when you start mixing the two,
mm-hmm.
bad things happen to the knowledge level in this country. George.
Journalism for me, like on the radio, I don't really remember when it was, you know, like the last time it was truly relevant. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like ever since the rise of television, it just seems like that seems to be the place where everybody seems to be getting their news.
I was going to say 1953 would be the answer you're looking for.
I would say like Winchell, like that maybe, you know, like Winchell was like the last radio, you know, like radio journalist that actually mattered, that actually provided people with news. And even skewed in its own way.
Okay, George, where do you go for your news? I think I forgot to give you a chance to answer that.
I get my news basically, you know, like I've been getting my news more from late night, you know, like network news. I get it from the internet. And that's really just, you know, really for actual, like real bona fide news and everything. That's where I go. You know, like when the election campaign was going on in November, you know, I was flipping back and forth between CNN, NBC and Fox News, and really just for going to Fox News just to see the look on Brit Hume's face when they lost another Republican seat. That to me was entertainment right there.
That should just show you how out of touch some element is in this country. And that element, I think, is still prevalent in the Republican Party as far as governing. The congressman in the White House, they still act like they're in the majority.
Yeah.
It hasn't quite sunk in yet. You know what I mean?
Well, for them, it wasn't even about, you know, like doing, you know, this, you know, whatever, you know, like things that were, you know, like leading the country and everything like that. It was all about staying in power. That was basically like all it was. You know, as long as the Republicans kept their seats and everything like that, you know, everything was fine. But, you know.
Now, do you guys believe in an ideological media bias? And I'm exempting Fox, because we all know what Fox is. Fox makes no bones about who they are. Do you guys believe in, like, a media bias agenda? Ryan.
Shoot, man, that might be a loaded question. No.
Well, it's either a yes or a no.
No, I don't, yeah. You know what I mean.
I don't know how loaded that can be.
No, but no, I was referring to how, you know what I mean. No, I don't think so. No.
Okay, George.
I don't think so. You know, like considering there are so many different different punishments that get doled out on both sides.
Okay, I got to ask you guys, what do you guys think about Dan Rather's comments about Katie Couric?
I think Dan Rather went off the... I lost all respect for Dan Rather when he did the, you know, the what was that, the Bush...
the Bush walkout.
Oh, the AWOL thing.
Yeah, no, not the walkout, the document thing.
The document.
It wasn't, you know what, it wasn't his mistake. That's fine. People make mistakes, but this guy actually had the nerve, and I'm glad you mentioned this. This guy actually had the nerve to sit there and tell me the following. Well, it hasn't been proven to be not true, so it's true. Dan, go back to ninth grade journalism, okay?
That's, you know, but that's Bush administration rationale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the rationale of our current administration, and I'm not poking fun at them or anything.
Yeah.
That's the way they look at things.
And that's wrong, too. But, you know, this. How long has Jan Rather been in journalism? This guy know anything? You know what I mean? I was embarrassed for him when I heard that.
But I think his comments about Katie Couric, even though he was called sexist by the chief of CBS for it,
mm-hmm.
he said that they were trying to dumb down network news with Katie Couric.
Yeah. I don't watch Katie Couric. I can't answer that. I don't watch the 6 o'clock news.
I've seen Katie Couric's program, and yeah, I mean, I think CBS should really admit what they tried to do. They tried to do something groundbreaking and different. Take a popular daytime host. They did try to lighten up her program originally and make it flow and a little bit more fluff on the edges, and it bombed.
Mm-hmm.
But George, Dan Rather, Katie Couric.
I definitely think that Dan Rather was out of line. It's a situation where, you know, like Dan, nobody was really asking you. You know,
that's
basically it. You know, like just like what Ryan said, you know, like you lost so much credibility because of the way that his news team and everything really pursued that story and really, you know, went out of their way.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely went out of their way to make it, you know, stick with the American people. And then just to get him humiliated like that, it was basically just like, well, sorry, but you deserve it.
Uh-huh.
And
the interesting thing. Oh, go ahead, George.
And just really, it's, you know, like, yeah, I'm not, you know, all that, you know, like fond of, you know, like Katie Couric's, you know, like news show and everything. But at the same time, like, I have nothing against her. But it was just like one of those situations where, you know, like where Dan Rather is all of a sudden just trying to make news again where there was none needed.
Yeah, I think the thing with CBS in that instance was originally they were so caught up in the 2004 election and they wanted a scoop.
Yeah.
So they ran with something that they knew was questionable. Now the big sin comes whenever they're caught as and it's proven false. He didn't backtrack.
Yeah.
He didn't correct himself.
Yeah.
I mean that's the big sin.
Yeah,
that
was
at least with
the big sin.
At least during the O.J. thing, at least during the O.J. chase when the Howard Stern listener called into Peter Jennings, at least Peter Jennings was quick, you know, like as soon as Al Michaels pointed it out that was a fake caller, he completely, like, you know, turned himself around, you know, like saying, you know, not the first time nor the last time will have been had. And that was it. Diffused the bomb.
And I have to admit, I miss Peter Jennings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as breaking news coverage.
Yeah.
A person that was that knowledgeable as a reporter in the ground, on the ground for decades, there was nobody better for breaking news coverage in the studio than Peter Jennings was.
Yeah.
And, I mean, his absence is sorely lacking. But there's nobody else in network or cable now that can do that.
There's nobody
else. You
know?
Peter Jennings was really good at taking a crisis situation and putting it into context.
Yeah.
Now there's no context. There's just sensationalism.
Mm-hmm. And sound bites, yeah.
So... one last question. Do you guys think we should do something with the Fairness Doctrine?
I say no, only because I think I could be totally wrong on this. I think it's impossible to really enforce something like that.
Yeah. Okay. George?
I want to say yes, but at the same time, it's one of those things like in a perfect world, you know, it would be enforced. This is not a perfect world. It's not going to be enforced.
Here's what you do for the Fairness Doctrine. You leave network news alone. You leave talk shows alone, but you apply it to campaigning.
Yes.
Equal television time.
Mm.
Equal advertising time.
I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where you put it into play.
Mm-hmm.
You don't put it into play to tamper with opinion shows or news shows. You put it into play to fix the campaign system. Okay, guys, we're done in our last minute. George, what do you want to pimp?
Well, today's UBS Evening Movie News is now
online,
411mania.com/movies, and I will also be taking part in Fact or Fiction, The Sopranos edition, with this weekend.
That was a good column, by the way, UBS Evening News.
Thank you very much.
Ryan.
As always, the Fact or Fiction politics will be up every Monday, and then I also have an interview going on right now with the director of Indoctrinate You, the documentary in the for the, I'm not sure if you guys have heard of it, but I'll be having that out here in the next week or two. So on the movie
Fact or Fiction, one of the best columns. Oh,
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And it's,
of course,
it has
you
been
know
a lot
the
of fun participating in that as well.
Yeah, of course. Of course, you know, the person that had it before Ryan did a pretty decent job himself. But that's it for That's it for today's show. We'll see you guys next Sunday at 6:30. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, George. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.